Happy New Year and welcome to worship, whether you are with us online or here in this beautiful sanctuary as we gather together. It's wonderful to be with you. It's wonderful as I up here and can hear familiar voices. It's as if the family has come together. So welcome. At Anderson First United Methodist Church, we make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and it's a privilege always to be with you in worship. Also with me in worship leadership today is Allie Hall and Chris Taylor, and our brass quintet will be leading us in worship through music. Next Sunday is Snowballs of Hope. This is something brand new for us, but I want you to all week exercise your pitching arm. You are going to have an opportunity to throw some snowballs, and these will be rolled up socks, gloves, or hats that you have purchased. These need to be new. Take off the tags, please. Roll them up into a ball, and then you will have an opportunity at the end of worship service next Sunday to throw those, see how close you can get, to Allie and I up here. So bring your snowballs of hope. Keep them with you throughout the service. Get them rolled up into a ball and be prepared. That may mean for the first time ever, we may have a whole lot more sitting near the front. You are welcome. Wired Word, it's a study that takes social issues and social news that is happening right now and connects it to Scripture. Wired Word will begin on January 10th, that is a Wednesday, at 6:30 in the library. All are welcome. Pat Walker will be leading that study, so be sure to plan ahead and join us. Let us now stand and greet one another with a Happy New Year in the name of Christ. As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship with the music from the brass quintet.
Thank you.
stand together for our call to worship and our opening hymn. Welcome to this time of quiet expectation. We have come here from extremely busy times. Come and find rest. Come and find hope. This is the last Sunday of this year. We do not know what is to come. Do not fear. Look with eager joy for the presence of the Lord in our lives. Open our eyes, ears, and hearts, O Lord, to receive your message of hope for us.
Good morning, good morning. I'd like to invite all the children up. This is our time for our children's moment, as well as your chance to receive a worship kit. All right, guys. So, do you notice I'm missing something today? My bag. I'm missing my bag. Do you know why? Well, we're not going upstairs, but I already have both of the things I needed for my children's moment on my person right now. What do you think it might be?
Hat.
I'm wearing a hat. Very good. That's part number one. Part number one, Pastor Crean already talked about. Next week is our Snowballs of Hope, which is new. And I'm very excited to do it here. I've done it at another church, and it's so much fun. And what's really cool is you guys get to go and pick out a bunch of hats and gloves and socks. And not only do we get to have a really fun indoor snowball fight here at the end of service next week, but that afternoon, those hats and socks and gloves are going to go to our community members who, I don't know if you know this, it's pretty cold outside. And it's going to be really, really cold if you don't have things to keep your hands and your head and your feet warm. And so I've got another thing we're going to talk about today, and it's actually in my pocket because it was small enough I didn't need the bag. Who knows what this is?
Play-Doh.
Play-Doh. Now, at the beginning of the year, I always try to think of kind of what I want the new year to look up. Typically, I pick a word of the year, and this word that I picked for this year is called wonder. Do you know what wonder means?
It means, like, curious.
Curious? That's very good. Any other words you could think to kind of describe the word wonder?
Also, like creativity.
Mm-hmm. Creativity, absolutely. I like to think of it as kind of something that you guys have a lot of, is this childlike wonder, this awe and creativity and surprise of the things that are amazing around you. You notice a lot. And so we're using Play-Doh today, and you're actually going to get some Play-Doh in your worship kits. And I want you guys to think about when you play with the Play-Doh, here, when you play with the Play-Doh, I want you guys to think about how God can use you, right? Because we get to mold it into whatever we want it to be. It can be anything. What are some things you've made with Play-Doh before? I always make cookies or tacos.
Pizza.
Pizza, also a solid wrap, also.
Pizza or cookies or pancakes.
Pancakes. Pancake. What do you put on the pancake? How do you do the syrup? See? Creativity. Look at this. Awesome. I like it. Well, you guys are going to get to play with some Play-Doh today.
Sometimes I make, like, they're like pancakes, but they're like confetti pancakes.
Ooh, those sound yummy. Yeah, well, you guys are going to get to play with them Play-Doh today, but I want you to think about how God molds all of us, right? Like, we're able to do incredible things like have indoor snowball fights because God gives us the opportunity to bless other people, right? So all year long, we've got opportunities to bless others and be molded into something amazing and creative and wonderful by God. All right, so let's go ahead. We're going to head back to our seat and play with some Play-Doh and not get it in the carpet.
The Holy Spirit is what flips the switch in us to move us from giving out of we have to or ought to we get to. It's a privilege and a joy when we get the opportunity to give back to God. Let us do so with joy today. God of hope and joy, the gifts we offer to you pale when our minds turn and try to grasp all you have given us this season. Wholeness in our woundedness, hope in our despair, grace in our turmoil, forgiveness in our rebellion. You gave us light in our darkness and hope in our discouragement. Help us embrace your extravagant generosity as we give ourselves to others. In our Savior's holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Please bow your head in prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we have come to the end of yet another year. You have seen us through our highs and our lows. We all come to you with different needs. We've had success, we've had joy, but we've had heartbreak and loss. And so as we embark on yet another year in your world, we ask for a few things. First, we want to say thank you. As we stand on this threshold of a new year, we want to express our deepest gratitude for the past year's blessing. Thank you for your faithfulness, your love, and your constant presence in our lives. Next, we ask for guidance. Lord, we look towards you, our hope, our peace, and our comfort in this new year. And as we enter into the unknown of the coming year, we ask you for your guidance and wisdom. Please illuminate our path with your light so that we may walk in your ways and make choices that align with your will. Gracious God, we ask for renewal. We come before you seeking renewal in the new year. Renew our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. May we be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit, leaving behind the old and embracing the new. We ask for strength. As we face both the known and unknown challenges of the coming year, grant us strength and courage. Help us to rely on your mighty power and to find our refuge in you. May we be steadfast in our faith, knowing that you are our rock and our fortress. And we pray for others. Lord, in this new year, we lift up to you our loved ones, our communities, and the world. Again, we have seen so many great things happen in our world this year, but so much tragedy, and we know that you are still here with us. So may your peace reign in our hearts and in the hearts of all people. And we hope that you will bring healing where there is brokenness and reconciliation where there is division. All these things we do pray in your name and in the prayer that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. Please stand as you are able. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. From the Old Testament, Isaiah, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
I want to share with you this morning a Christmas gift that I received from my son, and it was just a little bit of a surprise. I opened the package and there was this book, and inside the book is something for me to fill. You can see right on the front it says travel planner, and I looked at him kind of startled and I said, so you expect me to go somewhere? Because the pages were empty. He had not planned anything for me. But it is just reminded me so much of what I had been preparing to talk about today. Expectations, the expectation of taking a trip. And in here it breaks all the pieces down because it starts out with you listing your bucket list. And it has for you countries to travel to, cities to travel to, places to travel to, experiences that you want to have. And then it breaks it down a little bit more. And you have to look at the budget. You plan all the budget. You plan your itinerary. You plan your transportation. You plan your accommodations. And then you journal. There's a travel journal, page after page of travel journal. And then there are memorable moments. And then lo and behold, if you don't repeat it all over again, there's a place for about 10 different trips in here. A lot of expectations held in this little book. But that is what we come to today. This is a Sunday of expectation. We have this scripture in Luke 2, where Simeon had been expecting the Messiah. But I want to put this in context for you, because 2,000 years ago or more, when Simeon was living and waiting on the Messiah, so was every other Jewish person alive that day. They were all anticipating the Messiah to come. The Jewish people had special prayers that they would pray, anticipating the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, in the name of the Messiah, we pray. And so they were all looking forward to it. But what made Simeon stand out just a little bit differently than the others who were anticipating this Messiah was the fact, first of all, how Simeon waited. You see, we all wait differently, right? I've been with people, the waiting is particularly in waiting rooms. When I've waited with families or individuals who are waiting for someone who's having a surgical procedure, there are those who pace. They don't sit down. They'd like me to be there, but they're up and walking and down the hall and all over the place and checking on, is it over yet? Is it going to happen yet? You know, where are they in this process? And then there are others who sit very contently. There are some folks that I've waited with who become quite the chatterbox. And they talk just rapidly and constantly as they're waiting and anticipating. Simeon was a very patient person. Simeon didn't go to God constantly saying, is it time yet, Lord? Shouldn't the Messiah be here yet, Lord? And you know, Simeon had a reason that he could have easily been asking God those questions, because sometime prior in Simeon's life, God had gone to Simeon with a message, you will not die until you see the Messiah. Meaning that the Messiah was going to come in person, and Simeon was going to have an opportunity to meet the Messiah. Then he could die. So Simeon had every reason to anticipate this coming. His life depended on it, right? Or his end of life depended on it. And Simeon waited patiently. Didn't question God. And also didn't question God by saying, really? This just can't be. One, why in the world would I get to see the Messiah and nobody else? Well, we don't know why God spoke only to Simeon and not all those other Jewish people who were also waiting. But we do know that God chose the right person to receive that prophecy, because Simeon waited in the temple patiently. He had studied the scriptures, so it was no surprise to him when a baby showed up in its parents' arms. The true Messiah had come. And that Mary and Joseph had gone to the temple in Jerusalem, quite a hike for them from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and they had gone with this child of theirs for all the Jewish cleansings that needed to take place and the sacrifices that needed to be made because they had their firstborn son who was to be dedicated to God. And so all those things, the purification and the dedication, all of those things were taking place in the temple when they met Simeon. Simeon offered a blessing as he held a baby in his arms. He offered a blessing, and we know that these were expectations of this baby, things that God had told him would come true through the Messiah, a baby. Our scripture says he was destined to. First of all, he was destined to cause some to fail and some to fall and some to rise up. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But once we knew what Jesus had come to do and did, we kind of know the story there. We know what happened in the future. And that prophecy did come true because Jesus taught us that the first will be last, and the last will be first. Very different. Some will fall who expect to be first, and some will rise up, those who didn't expect anything but to be last. And then another one in this blessing that Simeon gives over this baby, he also tells that there would be, that within this child would not only cause some to rise and some to fall, but also the child would speak to the people and they would reveal their heart. First, as a sign from God. That sign from God would actually develop into the fact that God's very different. God's activities are very different than the world's. And again, we saw that in Jesus. Love your enemies, right? One of those we all struggle with yet today. God's message to us, very different than what the world would maintain for us. How we should behave according to the world's way. Reveal our hearts. This would mean that Jesus would open our eyes to reveal our need for a Savior. Unless you truly believe you need a Savior, what good is a Savior? If you don't need it, it's no good to you, right? This baby would grow up and reveal what's in our hearts. Reveal to us our need for a Savior. And then would also give us a Savior. Pierce our souls. Give us that opportunity to repent and receive forgiveness, to be washed clean. This is what this baby, the expectations laid upon this baby in the form of a blessing from Simeon, who was had waited all this time, all these many years of his life, to meet the Messiah. And he offers the expectations. Then we have more expectations of this in Isaiah 61, this preceded what Simeon had said. In Isaiah 61, we hear a couple things. One is that God, through God's righteousness, God will offer God's justice. Now that's a yikes for some, right? Some who are not acting justly, some who are causing pain and stirring up scuttlebutt, creating war. God, through God's righteousness, will introduce justice. But I want you to hear what happens, what comes right after that. Everyone. It doesn't say those who turn out and have received God's praise and have received God's justice and they're on the receiving end of good will praise God. It says everyone will praise God. That's what's introduced by this babe of Bethlehem. You see, expectations were placed on Jesus, and he fulfilled God's expectations of him, of what he should do in this life. Do you know that we do not live without expectations in our lives? In fact, the expectations that we have of ourselves, the expectations that others have of us, create who we are. Expectations are powerful. There was a young man who wanted to know about his future. You see, it was going to move into a new year, and he thought, you know, I really need to know what's going to be happening. And just really anticipating something good, he went to a palm reader, which is not what I recommend. However, he did. Went to a palm reader, held out his hand to his palm, and the palm reader was reading and shook her head and said, oh my, you are going to be poor and miserable until you're 41. Well, he was really saddened by that because he had a lot of years to go before 41, but there was hope. So he said, so at 41, I'm going to be rich and happy, right? And she said, no. No, you're going to be poor. But by the age 41, you're going to be so used to being poor, you won't be miserable anymore. You know, many of us don't set expectations. We don't expect anything better than what we are experiencing right now. We just get used to it. If it's not really what we wanted, we just live into it and get used to it and don't expect anything different. Being New Year's Eve, one of the things that you hear, I mean, it's on advertisements and it's talked about among us and so on and so forth, friends and family, and those are the resolutions. Really, a resolution, one way to define that is an expectation that we have of ourselves moving into the new year. But there's a lot of ways to define resolution. You see, if you are a musician, a resolution can be the harmony line moving from a dissonant chord into a consonant chord. And that's a resolution. If you're a writer, and some of you are, if you are a writer, it's the end of a story, the resolution of a story. If you're a chemist, it's taking a chemical compound and separating it out to its smallest parts, the resolution. If you're a graphic artist, someone that works on the computers, it's the pixels. It's the composition of the pixels to give you the sharpest and clearest image that you have, and that's the best resolution that you can get of your graphic design. But all of those point to something very foundational. The resolutions or the expectations move into a future. Something after that. Something to come from what has just happened. And you see, that is an expectation. Expectation is anticipating something to happen or something to become. An expectation. Now, I've heard people say about resolutions, my resolution is to never make a resolution again. I've heard that. Actually, I've heard that from probably some of you. Never to make a resolution again, but I ask you, I beg you to reconsider when we think in terms of expectations for ourselves, especially as we begin a new year. Want something better than what you're experiencing right now. Anticipate something better. But it's not just saying it. Because we could say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to make a resolution. And if you're like the majority of people in the United States for the past 3 years, we've had the top three resolutions. One, I'm going to exercise more. Two, I'm going to eat healthier. And three, I'm going to lose weight. Those have been the top three for the last 3 years, probably before that even. But it's not simply saying those things. It's having the faith that you can follow through with that. And when we talk about our Christian journey, it's having the faith in God. When God is directing us into those expectations or those resolutions, that God will make it happen. You see, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles, for God at work. And if we set expectations for ourselves, they have to be in line with our faith in God. We have to truly believe that God will work through that expectation and bring about a change in our lives. And those three, the top three that we set as Americans, as resolutions for a new year to come, those are good and healthy things, but those are not the only things that we ought to be focusing on in our life. I would suggest to you, strongly encourage you, that you consider a Bible study or a book study this year with a group of other Christians, even if you have never, ever done that before, to grow in your faith. And I have to be the first to say, it's not just the material in the study that makes it worthwhile, that helps people grow. That's wonderful, but it's the experience of being with other Christians in learning it. I'd strongly suggest that you consider in your heart leading a study. You say, oh, whoa, 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 that's way out of my comfort zone, right? You don't do it alone. If you feel that nudge from God, if you feel like God's calling you to something like that, God will equip you. Trust me. God will equip you. If nothing else, you can walk into my office and say, okay, equip me. I need to know what to do and how to do this. It happens. God will equip those that God calls. Period. To lead a six-week Bible study, a book study, to nurture a small group of other Christians and growing in their faith. It's a powerful experience. I would strongly encourage you to make one of your resolutions to serve others. Not simply by all the amazing outreach that we have, but introduce Jesus Christ to someone who doesn't yet know that they are loved. My former husband's family was one of those group of people I pray for them constantly. Would love to know that they know, would know just how much they are loved by their God. And it wasn't going to be me to tell them that or to show them that. But I pray that somebody like you folks would walk into their path and be able to reach their hearts and their minds. I know that you have family like that. Or you know of other people like that. Those are the kinds of resolutions. But you know, it doesn't, unless we have faith in our God, that we set those kinds of expectations for us, if we don't have faith that God will actually do it, don't make it. Faith comes first. You can have faith without expectations, but you cannot set expectations and expect them to come through without faith in your God, that God will work in you and through you in great, amazing, and powerful ways. Expectations is the breeding ground of miracles, and those miracles are the work of God, working way beyond what you are capable of doing all by yourself. But God can do amazing things through you and I. As you enter the new year, you don't have to call them resolutions, but set some spiritual expectations for yourself. Grow closer to your God this year and expect God to honor that request. Amen. Let us stand for the benediction. Sorry, I neglected our response, but we'll stand for the benediction anyway. Go now as we begin the new year, expecting God to do amazing, powerful, wonderful things through you and through your church. Amen.